The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Ibrahim Kwarteng.
In the headlines, Presidential Commission of Inquiry into Black Stars FIFA World Cup campaign begins sitting in Accra today. Call on Ghanaians to take precautionary measures as more suspected Ebola cases emerge. National Media Commission tasked to hold in check media houses which publish hate speech. NDC suspends all activities towards the Delegates Congress to monitor ongoing limited voter registration. And Central African Republic gets new Prime Minister. First summary with Ibrahim Kwarteng.
The Presidential Commission of Inquiry sets up to look into the Black Stars chaotic FIFA World Cup campaign in Brazil starts sitting in Accra today. The inaugural sitting will be chaired by Appeals Court Judge Justice Senior Zamefe. With support from the two members of the commission, Moses Fu Amwanin and Kofi Anochi Usudako, the sitting will be held at the media center of the Accra Sports Stadium at 10 a.m. The National Executive Committee of the NDC has suspended all activities leading to the party's congress in October this year. The decision is to enable the party to actively participate and monitor the limited voter registration which ends on Wednesday nationwide. The Bolgatanga Municipal Health Director, Dr. Thomas Mensa Afo, has added his voice to calls on the need for people to take precautionary measures against the deadly Ebola virus, which has killed more than 900 infected persons in neighboring countries such as Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. And the President of the Central African Republic has named Mahamat Kamoun the new Prime Minister. The appointment of Mr. Kamoun, a Muslim, is seen as part of efforts to create a more inclusive government after more than a year of sectarian violence.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail.
The Presidential Commission of Inquiry, set up to investigate Ghana's World Cup fiasco in Brazil, will start work at the media center of the Accra Sports Stadium at 10 a.m. today. This comes on the heels of another letter from FIFA ruling that the GFA is under no obligation to account to the government. The inaugural sitting will be chaired by Appeals Court Judge Justice Senior Jamefe, with support from the two members of the commission, Moses Fuamwani and Kofi Anochi Usudako. The three-member commission organized two separate seminars for the media in Accra and Kumasi last Thursday and Friday to educate journalists on media law and defamation. The commission will be operating under the powers of a high court in accordance with Articles 278, 279 and 280 of the 1992 Constitution, and therefore could cite people for contempt, among others. So will the commission go ahead with this work despite FIFA's intervention? Moses Fuamwani has joined us on the line. Mr. Amwanin, you welcome.
Well, thank you. And let me just indicate that I'm doing this and a lot of difficulty because we're not supposed to be granting interviews openly. But because this is the station of the nation and this Ghana Broadcasting, I am constrained to push out this information so the audience or those who are listening can know and have that information.
We appreciate that, Mr. Amwanin. So are you working today? We understand you're starting sitting today.
Sure, we're going to do that. We're sitting at 10 o'clock today to deal with certain matters that are before us.
And what do you make of FIFA's intervention? We are told that there's a ruling from FIFA that the GFA is under no obligation to account to the government. Does this put you in a difficult situation?
Well, not at all. We have not received formally copies of the letter from FIFA, so when we receive those copies and the paper trail, then we will deal with those matters. But don't forget that, as you indicated in your introduction, we have been set up under the Constitution of the Republic of Ghana, and we're going to exercise those powers as we have been given.
But Rami Samani, you have been in the football business for a very long time. You are a legal brain. Did you see any sort of ambiguity in this? FIFA coming in to say, don't go there, government saying that you are obliged under the Constitution to do just that. Are you not going to put yourself in some sort of trouble later on, legally?
No, not at all. If you look, as I said, we are not supposed to go into the details, but as far as we are concerned, from all that we have had in the media, we don't have the hard copies. As I said, we requested those copies, and we will deal with those matters when they come before us. But I don't see any conflict whatsoever. At the end of the day, FIFA's own instructions to the FA in the concluding part of the letter is that they should collaborate with the commission.
Right, so if there is any case of wrongdoing, maybe people haven't done certain things illegally. We are told to have the powers of the High Court in accordance with Articles 278, 279, and 280 of the 1992 Constitution. You could cite people for contempt. Is it not going to put people, or let me say, prevent people from attending to your commission?
Well, on the contrary, I would have thought that if, as a quasi-judicial body, we have the powers to compel witnesses, then they will attend, rather than if preventing them from returning, from attending to our call. I mean, that's why we went on that education process. So, you know, there are a lot of people in the FA who are all lawyers. They understand the implications of, you know, being summoned to attend the commission's call. And from all the interactions we've had, all the interactions that we've had so far, I don't get the impression that anybody is going to refuse our call. And as I indicated, from all the media reports, and I think you do have them as well, the FIFA's letter said, you know, the FA should collaborate with the commission. So I don't see any problem with attending to our call if we need to call, you know, members of the FA to come and explain one issue here or the other. But let me just make this point quickly, that all these matters will be thrown out there when we sit today, and we will tell you the lines of action that we're going to take.
Right, Mr. Manu, I want to thank you very much for that insight.
Thank you very much.
Moving on, the Christian Council of Ghana has appealed to Ghanaians to see Ebola as a disease which needs serious attention and not a punishment from God. The General Secretary of the Council, Reverend Dr. Kwabena Oponefrempong, told Radio Ghana that spiritualizing such a deadly disease makes it difficult for health professionals to do their work in educating the public and generally fighting it. Reverend Dr. Oponefrempong said the church, as a religious institution, is ready to help in getting the public informed, and urged the Ministry of Health and other stakeholders to partner the Christian Council to organize sensitization programs in churches and across the country. He spoke to Jonathan Thompson.
I must say Ebola is not a new disease, because it was first discovered as far back as 1976 somewhere in Zaire and Congo. But its manifestation at the moment is what WHO is saying severe. Now, the moment you have such strange diseases, the temptation is especially for religious people to now, if you like, spiritualize it, demonize it. It's not different from when AIDS emerged. It received all kinds of understanding leading to stigmatization and all that. Now, push a disease to the spiritual realm like that, the religious understanding, demonic, then it makes it difficult for the professionals to do their work, because now we need public education. Health people must help us understand, and people must get ready for knowledge. But if we block our levels of acceptance, receiving knowledge that, oh, this is demonic, then for many people, they don't want to listen to anything. But at the moment, public education and prevention is the best approach in fighting the disease.
Okay, based on that, so what is the church actually supposed to do? You are from the Christian Council. So what would you advise churches to actually do?
Yes, you see, it's a new phenomenon, and we want to be sure we don't approach the disease with fear and panic. And that is something we want to avoid, because if we don't get information, our members don't get information right, then there will be high level of fear and panic. People say things, exaggerating things they don't fully understand. And so what we want to do is to partner with state institution, Ministry of Health, and that is why we are saying they should establish the structures. We are seeking partnership with Ministry of Health, with WHO. We give our platforms to them also to help us and our people, our pastors especially, to understand and help.
From the social point of view, there is the need for education and also putting preventive measures in place. But then from the spiritual point of view, shouldn't we have prayers?
We are calling for prayers, but what we are saying is that we must accept that it's a challenge, it's a disease. So yes, as we pray, we also allow the professionals who understand disease and how it functions and how it should be prevented also to do their work. So it's a kind of balance we are calling for.
General Secretary of the Christian Council of Ghana, Reverend Dr. Kwapnaoponi Frimpong.
Our central regional correspondent, Kinsley Nanabuodu, who has been visiting some fishing communities, reports that most travelers who came through those routes were not screened. He added that no case has been reported yet in the region.
The central region has not reported any Ebola case as we speak yet, but the situation is that many of the people from Liberia and other parts of the world, especially in some of the African countries, are arriving in some parts of the region, especially Comenda and other fishing areas. It tells us that when you ask them of whether they were screened or tested of Ebola, some claim they did or they were tested. Others also tell us they were not screened or tested of any Ebola, but whatever it is, they have arrived in the country, and of course, Comenda, and we are expecting many of them to come as we move on. The situation is such that the health officials, according to them, they have set up a team that will be at the beaches or the fishing communities to fish out some of those people that will come so that they will be able to do some screening themselves and also make sure that there's some surveillance on them, making sure that they are lifestyle and whether they exhibit any sign or symptom of the disease, they will take some quick action regarding the situation. So I was at a church this afternoon and there was an announcement that some group of people being Christian Association have arrived from La Côte d'Ivoire. So out of curiosity, I wanted to find out from those that have come whether they were even screened before arriving last night. But it was interesting to know that they were not screened of any Ebola situation. Of course, not all of them are Ghanaians. Some of them are from other French countries, but they came here to have a program, and as I inquired from the leader, they were not screened of any Ebola, but rather they inspected their vaccination card and other normal stuff that they expect of them. So that is what makes the situation serious. But the health officials have told us that yes, we don't have any such situation in the central region, and that they have intensified their surveillance in such communities to ensure that all those that arrive, they will be able to look out for them and do some sort of screening, and when they prove to have any symptoms or any situation like that, action will be taken.
That was our central regional correspondent, Kinsley Nanabuodu.
The Bolgatanga Municipal Health Director, Dr. Thomas Mensah Afo, has added his voice to calls on the need for people to take precautionary measures against the deadly Ebola virus, which has killed more than 900 people in neighboring countries. Dr. Afo is urging the public, particularly health workers, to strictly follow hand washing routines after visiting patients in hospital, as well as after taking care of patients at home or shaking hands with a friend or a relative. He said people who died from the suspected Ebola disease should be promptly buried, taking precautions to avoid direct contact with the corpse and body fluids. Dr. Afo, however, cautioned the public to avoid habitats which might be populated by bats, such as caves, isolated shelters, as well as mining sites. Religious leaders have also been encouraged to use their pulpits to educate their congregation on the dangers of the disease, with a focus on its prevention.
Nigeria's health ministry has banned the transportation of corpses across national and state borders in attempt to halt the Ebola outbreak. Federal State Minister for Health in Northern Kano State, Khalil Al-Hassan, who made this known, explained that people who die of Ebola will have to be buried in the community where they die, with no option for the body to be transported back to their home. Mr. Al-Hassan said the move will especially hit Nigerians dying in Ebola effect. Liberia, Guinea or Sierra Leone. Two people have died of Ebola in Nigeria. Seven others are infected with the virus, while six suspected cases are yet to be confirmed. About 70 people are under surveillance. Meanwhile, Spanish Ebola patient Miguel Pajares, who was infected in Liberia, is said to be treated in Madrid with experimental drug MZMAP. Doctors requested an exemption to import the drug from Geneva, which has only been tested on monkeys. The drug is already at the hospital where the 75-year-old priest is receiving treatment.
Meanwhile, the battle to contain the Ebola outbreak continues, with African countries especially adopting measures to contain it. Guinea, Sierra Leone, Liberia and Nigeria are the hardest hit countries by the epidemic, which the WHO has called the worst in four decades. Ghana has not recorded any case yet, but is preparing feverishly to contain any possible outbreak. Radio Ghana in this report looks at measures adopted so far by some countries to fight the disease.
Ghana's President John Dramani Mahama at the recent ECOWAS summit in Accra tasked scientists the sub-region to help find lasting solutions to the Ebola virus.
I wish to express our deep concern about the unprecedented outbreak of Ebola in three member states of our community. We must scale up our efforts and power to defeat this deadly disease. We must exercise vigilance and caution and avoid any panic or misinformation. I also wish to challenge our national and regional medical research institutions to intensify efforts aimed at finding a cure or vaccines for diseases such as Ebola.
The Ghana Health Service has also confirmed in a statement that some Ghanaian fisherfolk who dwell and fish on the borders of Liberia have started returning home with some showing symptoms of Ebola disease. To this end, the service appealed to the general public to be on the alert. It further advised the public to stay away from public swimming pools and also obtain hand sanitizers and use protective gloves before touching or attending to sick persons, and launched a service helpline to this effect. Dr. Bedu Sakodia is the acting director of public health at the Ghana Health Service.
The outbreak is not over. Guinea is still reporting cases, Liberia reporting cases, Berlin reporting cases, and now Nigeria has started reporting cases. So it's important that we give precautions so that people will be wary, heightened awareness, heightened adapt protective measures to the general public and be on the watch out.
Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan declared a national state of emergency on Friday over the Ebola outbreak in that country. President Jonathan warned against the spreading of false information about Ebola, which he said can lead to mass hysteria, panic and misdirection, including unverified suggestions about prevention, treatment, cure and spread of the virus. The country has also appealed for volunteers to help halt the spread of the virus. It said they need volunteers because of shortage of medical personnel. Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has also declared a state of emergency as the country grapples with an outbreak of the deadly Ebola virus. Speaking on national television, she said some civil liberties might have to be suspended.
The government of Liberia is today contributing the amount of $5 million as our initial contribution to begin the immediate implementation of this plan.
Also, Mauritania has stepped up health checks at its border with Senegal and Mali, but so far no suspicious cases have been detected. Guinea, on the other hand, announced that it is temporarily closing its land borders with neighboring Liberia and Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone has also deployed some 1,500 troops to enforce quarantine measures in two eastern districts where most of the country's confirmed cases have stemmed from. Beyond the epicenter of the epidemic, countries as far away as India are also taking action. Airports in the Asian country of 1.25 billion people are on alert, and the government has opened an emergency helpline for the disease. India, the world's second most populous country, has nearly 45,000 nationals living in the four Ebola-affected West African nations, and health officials say there is a possibility of some returning to their home country if the outbreak worsens. India's Health Minister Harsh Vardhan, in a statement, said there is no need to panic, calling the risk of Ebola cases in India low. Last week, the World Bank announced some $200 million in emergency assistance for West African countries battling to contain the Ebola outbreak. The money, it says, will be distributed to the governments of Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea, as well as to the WHO. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim, who is also an expert on infectious disease, said he is deeply saddened by the spread of the virus and how it is contributing to the breakdown of already weak health systems in the three countries.
We just announced that the World Bank Group will raise as much as $200 million to support Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone in their efforts to battle the Ebola epidemic that has broken out in those three countries. This money will go for very basic support for medical supplies, medical staff, and also to help with people who are facing economic hardship as a result of this epidemic. That was, we have a responsibility to that particular region of Africa. We're going to do everything we can, not only to provide support in the short term, but to really think about building the kind of public health systems that the people of those three countries deserve.
Anja Walls, who is with the Doctors Without Borders, says Africa is late in controlling the outbreak, but says with the funds from the World Bank, he hopes the disease will be contained.
I really just think this is really needed. And there's a really big lack of resources. And at the moment, the truth is, in Kowloon, if MSF wasn't here, they'd be nothing. For me, that's a good enough reason.
With the measures adopted by these countries to contain the disease, one hopes Ebola will soon be a thing of the past.
And that was Yvonne Atilego reporting.
And away from Ebola, the moderator of the EP Church Ghana, Right Reverend Francis Aminu, has urged Ghanaians, particularly politicians, to guard against the use of hate speech that is becoming a common trend on some radio stations and public platforms. In his view, the situation, which is further polarizing the country, requires the intervention of the National Media Commission to strictly enforce its regulatory functions to ensure sanity in the media landscape and also curtail lawlessness among the people. Right Reverend Aminu was speaking in Accra at the inauguration of 33 newly trained pastors into the ministry of the EP Church Ghana. We bring you more.
The pastors, comprising 24 males and 9 females, graduated from the Trinity Theological Seminary, Legon, and the EP Theological Seminary, Pekki. Right Reverend Aminu challenged the National Media Commission and other relevant state institutions to reprimand and possibly sanction newspapers which publish sensational headlines that have the tendency of generating tension. He also called on the leadership of faith entities to counsel politicians who are members of their congregations to demonstrate high sense of decorum in their public discourse. Right Reverend Aminu urged the newly inaugurated pastors not to submit to temptations in the discharge of their ministerial services, but remain resolute and faithful to God to enable them to overcome storms of challenges they may encounter. In his message, the president of Trinity Theological Seminary, Legon, Reverend Professor Joseph Obi Yebuamante, urged the new pastors to strive for excellence, discipline, and successful service, and refuse the populist desire in their ministerial duties. The principal of the EP Theological Seminary, Pekki, Reverend Dr. Mark Wilson Atakro, charged the new pastors to be guided by the virtues of Jesus Christ as they embark on the journey of winning souls.
That was the news desk report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Presidential Commission of Inquiry into Black Stars FIFA World Cup campaign begins sitting in Accra today. Call on Ghanaians to take precautionary measures as more suspected Ebola cases emerge. Media Commission tax to hold in check media houses which published hate speech. MDC suspends all activities towards Delegates Congress to monitor ongoing limited voter registration. And Central African Republic gets new Prime Minister. We are back after the break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. Discussions on the IMF bailout by government continue to dominate the airwaves. A member of the government communication team, Sam George, has been explaining government's position on the IMF bailout. He said a drop in revenue, energy crisis, over reliance on import, and other crises has compelled government to seek IMF intervention. Speaking on GBC's current affairs program Talking Point, Mr. George said the bailout would create policy credibility in the short term.
Going to sit with the IMF and our development partners to have a discussion is basically, as the President has succinctly put it, to create a certain level of policy credibility and show confidence in the economy in the short term. If you look at commentary that has made the rounds on international media about the Ghanaian economy, nobody doubts the fundamentals of this economy, that they are strong and that the fundamentals look very good. And that's why our medium to long-term prospects, everybody talks about them being strong and bright. But then the issues are with our short term. where we stand now. We decided to go to the IMF basically five major reasons. The first of which is a drop in government revenue in terms of forex, which is occasioned by the drop in the prices of gold and cocoa. The second reason being the fact that we are facing what you call a grand famine from our development partners, where our development partners have failed to meet their obligations and their pledges to us. The third is as a result of the energy crisis, which we did face, and we are coming out of it relatively, we're in a better position now than we were at the beginning of the year, and with the signing of the MCA, $498 million grant, we can actually project that our energy situation will be better. But the energy crisis clearly created a shortfall in production. With a shortfall in production in the country comes a reduction in government's revenue.
A financial analyst, Sidney Kisley-Hayford, was of the view that a bailout is not enough to overcome the current economic challenges in the country.
It doesn't matter what you call what we are in, whether you want to call it a bailout, whether you want to say they are temporary challenges, or whether you want to say that the fundamentals for the medium to long term are strong and there is hope. All that doesn't matter, because at the moment we need to fix what we are in. And what we are in is that we are not making enough revenue to be able to carry our expenses. That's a simple analysis of where we are. Our income streams from taxes, royalties, import tariffs, duties, mineral rights, etc., etc., just are not enough to be able to manage the expenses.
You had financial analyst Sidney Kisley-Hayford on the IMF bailouts being sought by government.
The chairman of Christ Apostolic Church International, CECI, Apostle Dr. Stephen Kwame Amoni, has implored Ghanaians to stop the blame game and work hard to redeem the nation from its current difficulties. He was addressing the 2014 Apostolic Conference of the Church. Apostle Amoni asked Ghanaians not to despair in their times of difficulty, but rather seek the face of God for deliverance. He encouraged every citizen to work steadily and make good use of each one's ability in whatever field to develop the nation. The CECI chairman entreated all to exhibit good hygienic practices in their homes and communities and to have a very good knowledge of the symptoms of cholera and Ebola. Apostle Amoni asked ministers of the gospel to use their pulpit to teach and encourage their congregation to come agents of change to reduce alarming levels of moral decadence in society. The MP for Abuakwa South Atachia said transformation can only take place with increase in knowledge and ask men of God to upgrade their capacities as they are the reservoir of their congregation.
The National Executive Committee of the NDC has suspended all activities leading to the party's congress in October this year. The activities include campaigns and conferences being organized at the national, regional, constituency and branch levels across the country. The decision is to enable the party to actively participate and effectively monitor the Electoral Commission's limited voter registration nationwide. The NEC encourages all members of the party to comply with the directive to ensure the success of the exercise.
About 33 suspected trafficked children have been rescued by the Eastern Regional Office of the Anti-Trafficking Unit of the Ghana Police Service at Bunsu. The children between the ages of 6 and 22 were suspected of being trafficked to Yeji for fishing and other farming activities. Briefing the media, the Eastern Regional Police Public Relations Officer ASP Yaun Ketia Ebua said the police acted upon a tip-off by an informant and with the help of an NGO. Challenging height, the children were rescued. During interrogation, the children revealed they are from Medina and Agboglossi in the Greater Accra region, Adidomi in the Volta region, and some parts of the Eastern region. According to ASP Ketia Ebua, almost all the children said they were going for school fees from their parents. This, he said, is unacceptable for children under such ages to travel alone to such a distance and therefore suspect foul play. He noted that the police are still on the ground since the region is mostly used as a route to traffic children to engage in hard labor.
In international news, the president of the Central African Republic has named a Muslim as the country's new prime minister. The move forms part of efforts to create a more inclusive government after more than a year of sectarian violence. Mahatma Kamun, previously a special advisor to President Catherine Samba-Panza, a Christian, will lead a transitional government after being nominated by presidential decree.
And a fresh three-day ceasefire between Israel and the Palestinian faction Hamas in Gaza is enforced. The agreement, which began midnight yesterday, came after days of intense mediation by Egypt. If the truce continues to hold, Israel will send negotiators to Cairo today for talks on a longer-term deal. This is the second of such ceasefire to be announced over the course of the conflict. The last one ended last Friday.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The Presidential Commission of Inquiry set up to look into the Black Stars' botched FIFA World Cup campaign in Brazil starts sitting in Accra today. The inaugural sitting will be chaired by Appeals Court Judge Justice Sonio Jamafe. The sitting will be held at the Media Center of the Accra Sports Stadium at 10 a.m. The Bolgatanga Municipal Health Director, Dr. Thomas Mensah Afol, has asked the public to take precautionary measures against the Ebola virus. He's also urging health workers to strictly follow hand-washing routines after visiting patients in hospital, as well as after taking care of patients at home or shaking hands with a friend or a relative. The National Executive Committee of the NDC has suspended all activities leading to the party's Congress in October this year. The decision is to enable the party to monitor the limited voter registration, which ends on Wednesday nationwide. And the President of the Central African Republic has named Mahatma Kamoun, a Muslim, as the new Prime Minister. The news was broadcast from Radio Ghana, presented by Lily Defoe
and Ibrahim Kwaken.